Would you join with me in prayer? Based on the second chapter of Philippians. Let your word, O God, break open our hearts this day through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may enter into the coming Holy Week with the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. The reading comes from the book of Matthew. Will you come share Mark chapter 4? We have Mark 4 first.
Well, actually, we are going to read the passion story first from Matthew 27, 26. Yeah, that's the one. Just listen to that one.
Hear these words, the familiar story. Perhaps it will take you back from the 27th chapter of Matthew. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked him, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All of the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldier took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We just have to hear the word, you know, all of the word. You know, I heard the other day that word is not being heard in church enough. So you got to hear the stories today. Thank you, Sarah, for reading the scriptures for us. You know, everybody loves a party, right? We love a party. We love Palm Sunday. See, we all came in, we were just waving our palms and getting ready. We came in and, you know, just like it did on that Sunday, this Sunday, where parades of pomp and pageantry came through and accompanying Jesus as he entered Jerusalem on that final time of his earthly mission. Missionary, his ministry on earth. But let's face it, it was a party. You remember what's going on in Jerusalem that day, that time, the festival, the Passover festival, people are coming in from all over. There was a crowd. They were dancing and they were singing. There was people shouting and cheering, and Jesus is riding through the gates of that city, which we often call the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Yes, the people were gathering along the roadways from Bethlehem to the sheep gate. But let's be clear. Let's be clear where Jesus is going. The crowds were excited and expecting a procession to hand with some great wonder and maybe some miracles too. But let's be clear where Jesus is actually headed. You see, once a lamb was brought through that gate for sacrifice, there was no way out. There was no way back. The gate on the north side of the city, or the opening, the Jerusalem wall, that's where the lambs would come through for sacrifice, was a one-way street, as it was now for the Lamb of God. It was theologically significant that Jesus first identified himself not as the good shepherd, but as the sheep gate, the gate for the sheep. The lectionary readings, we heard those two of them this morning, that we have a choice as pastors to select either the Passion Sunday or the Palm Sunday narrative. I chose both. Because overwhelmingly, we've heard the Palm Sunday story preach. This processional entry into Jerusalem. We hear that over and over. But if we read all the biblical text that was assigned for Holy Week, you read the story of the Passion of Christ with all its drama, of all the highs and the turmoil and depths of tragedy. But if we only attend Palm Sunday and hear about the triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, and then enter, come back again on Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection, you will miss the important stuff. You know that stuff that is typical human behavior that makes Jesus' crucifixion necessary? If we just did that, you'll miss it. So I want to think of myself as a responsible pastor, and you won't miss anything. You got them both. Because Palm Sunday is all about celebration. Passion Sunday is all about the realization that Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, we must dedicate ourselves to something greater than a party. And that's why, my friends, you have both of them, and both of those things happen on the same day, just like life does. A lot of things happen the same time. So as I'm alluding, I am going to give you both of those today. I'm going to give you the Passion and this palm and the Passion, because this is Sunday, but Friday is coming. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear your words this morning. Clothe your servant before you with thy anointing. Use me, Lord, for your glory. And sweet Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. As a pastor and preacher, I don't get to go to church very often to hear other pastors and preachers. But I do have a few that I love to listen to. I go back and I listen to them. And some of these messages just touch my heart that I will go back and listen to them over and over. One of those is Tony Campoli's sermon. He says, with these titles, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." So Dr. Campoli told a story of this little preaching competition that they had in the church. They will do that once in a while. All the pastors would come on and kind of preach off with each other. But doing one of those services, Dr. Campoli told how he preached a perfect sermon, perfect in every way. He had taken the congregation to the highs of glory and the depths of despair. And as he sat down beside his home pastor, Dr. Campoli patted him on the knee and said, okay, go top that. He's almost having a drop the mic moment, I guess. The older black pastor looked at him and said, son, sit back because this old man is going to do you in. He got up. It was a simple sermon. He started softly, building in volume and intensity until the entire congregation was completely involved, he said, repeating phrases in unison. He said his pastor did the end that day with one line that kept repeating. He said, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. The sermon went something like this. It's Friday. Jesus is arrested in the garden where he was praying, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The disciples were hiding and Peter's denying that he knows the Lord, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus is beaten and mocked and spit upon, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Roman soldiers are flogging our Lord and they press the crown of thorns down in his brow, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. We see him walking to Calvary, blood dripping from his body, the cross crushing down in his back, and he stumbles beneath the Lord. But it's Friday, and Sunday's coming. It's Friday. We see the Roman soldiers driving nails into his feet and his hands of my Lord. Hear my Jesus cry, Father, forgive them. It's Friday, but Sunday he's coming. It's Friday. Jesus is hanging on the cross, blood and dying, but Sundays are coming. It's Friday. Jesus is hanging on the cross, having heaven is weeping and hell is parting, but he's about to be that, but that's because it's Friday. They don't know it yet, but Sunday is coming. Oh, hallelujah. But at the end of the message, the old preacher was simply saying out loud, crying out loud, it's Friday, and the whole congregation is responding, it's Sunday is coming. My friends, but if you heard the Palm Sunday story before, and maybe you thought that it's like I did, that is the total opposite was happening on Good Friday. It's the total opposite of everything that happened on Good Friday that happens on Palm Sunday. Because Palm is the Sunday, is this Sunday, and Good Friday is coming. All the people were waving palms, throwing their coats and cloaks, wraps and Ralph Lauren sweaters in the pathway before Jesus. And it looks as if somebody had entered out the Salvation Army shed on the streets. People were cheering, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowds run from the palm and cut them fronds from them and lay them before Jesus as he approached on a foal of a donkey. Yea, Jesus, you are the Messiah. Yea, Jesus, we saw you raise the dead. Yea, Jesus, you come to save us. Hosanna, Hosanna. But it was Sunday and Friday is coming. Because on Friday, the same group of people would stand and scream, crucify him, crucify him. The same group of people that year, Hosanna, would 5 days later scream out for the Lord's blood. They would scream out that they would nail him to the cross. But does that surprise you? Does that shock you? If you were Peter, James, and John at that time, would they be surprised? Possibly shocked, certainly dismayed or discouraged. They wouldn't have seen, neither should we. We shouldn't be shocked in that stage, and neither should we, because Jesus had warned them in the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Luke, and John. We have recorded that. They were teaching his disciples through the parables of the four soils. Now we can have the reading from Mark 4, where it goes like this. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where he did not have much soil, which sprung up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still others fell on the good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever have ears to hear, let them hear." Because my friends, Jesus warned them. They warned them that the way it would be. He told them who he was. He revealed he was the Messiah, the Christ. He cast out the seeds of that the Messiah had come. He had miracles to prove it. And some people were like the hard ground in the pathway in the garden. These people were so hard, so callous, and so bitter to hear the truth that they would just bounce off them. The seeds, they lay on the surface waiting for Satan to sweep in, and everything he could steal it away before it germinated, took root and grew. In the crowd that formed around Jesus' triumphant entry, there were Jewish religious leaders, Pharisees, who looked at what was going and then weaseled their way up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, get your disciples under control." These men hated him. They knew what Jesus, if Jesus had continued to live, he would bring the powers of Rome down on their heads, and their comfortable, powerful style would be gone. I just envisioned the Pharisees standing and watching. They knew they had to do something. Jesus was bringing destruction on the way of life. I could also hear Satan whispering in their ears in his venomous and sulfur-scented voice, "It's Sunday, but Friday's coming." But there was another group who stood screaming, "Hosanna, Hosanna," on Palm Sunday. These were the ones that had watched and listened to Jesus. Some were there when Jesus called out Lazarus from the grave. They watched the stone rolled away and the dead man came out forth from his grave clothes. They were there. And they may have seen him make a dinner for everyone out of five loaves and three fish. They may have seen the wedding of Cana when he turned the water into wine. They shouted with great fervency, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." These people, though they were like seeds that fell among the rocks, they sprouted up quickly. They saw a miracle here and there, and they believed that this was the ministry of Jesus Christ was all about. They jump on the bandwagon quickly, but once the heat of the sun gets hot, the pressure from the Pharisees came up on them, they all withered. The religious leaders pressed upon their congregation. They lobbied and coaxed and threatened that they were in the position to pastor. Yes, on Sunday, these folks screamed that Jesus was the king. And then on Friday, they screamed that he should be crucified. I could almost hear the Pharisees saying to their congregation, "It's Sunday, but Friday is coming." Come on, we're going to get in there. Yes, on Friday, you will not scream on Hosanna. On Friday, you will not throw the coats at the feet. On Friday, you will scream, crucify him, and you will rip his coat from his bloody back and cast lot to see who gets it. It's Sunday now, followers of Jesus, but on Friday, you will do your bidding. You could just hear them, because it's Sunday. and Friday's coming. There's a third group, though, that was mixing the crowd. They ran in the street and stripping off their coats, grabbing palms and throwing them in the feet of Jesus. And like a weed that fell among the thorns and the pressure of life grew and they choked them out. On Sunday, they yell of again, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But that was Sunday. Because on Monday, the bills came in for the new outfit for Passover, and the kids need new clothes, and the mama need a new bonnet for Easter. And they're, how they're going to pay for it? We're going to take the mortgage and still has to be paid, and food on the table. That was Monday. And then on Tuesday, a Pharisee's priest stopped by and said, if you continue to follow this Jesus, you will be expunged and shunned from your beloved fellowship. They would have no friends. They would have no center for their spiritual and social life. They would be like the outcast. And on Wednesday, as the family walked through the marketplace to get supplies for a Passover meal, they were ridiculed and mocked, and nobody would wait on them. But finally, on Thursday, when the good lady's husband came home from work and said that she had lost her job because his wife was at Palm Sunday rally yelling on Hosanna, Hosanna, she lost her cool and she couldn't take the pressure anymore. She was distraught. And when Friday came, she was front up in the crowd shouting and teaching her children a new phrase, no longer yelling Hosanna, but crucify him. I could almost hear the leaders of the community whispering behind, cheering crowd as Jesus rode down the street on the back of a donkey. It's Sunday, but watch out. Friday is coming. In that crowd, there were people who heard the word and it transformed their lives. It had not only transformed their lives on Sunday, but when they yelled, sincerely yelled, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he, come in the name of the Lord. It transformed their lives on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. They saw hope and a future. They found relief and salvation in this man who was called the Messiah. And then on Friday, they saw him judged and tried before Pontius Pilate. On Friday, they saw soldiers beat him with a whip and press of thorns down his head, and his blood rolled down like tiny rivers his face. But on Friday, they saw him carry the heavy cross through the town up to a hill known as Golgotha or the skull. On Friday, they saw the soldiers ripped his bloody garment from his body and cast lot for it. On Friday, they watched as the nail was nailed to the cross. And Friday he watched them die the cruel death. And Friday their life had been ruined. And Friday the faith had been stripped away from them. And Friday they trust him and belief was rocked, and they watched him placed in a tomb. On Friday they wept great bitter tears as the tomb was rolled in front of it. Yes, they were crushed on Friday. Hope was lost on Friday. Everything they screamed for on Palm Sunday was true, but their faith was pierced by three nails and dashed on the sharp edge of a stony grave. And on Palm Sunday, they believed he was the Lord. And Palm Sunday, they believe he came and in the name of the Lord. And Palm Sunday, they believe he was the Messiah. And Palm Sunday, they believe that everything they yell as they cast palms at his feet. And Palm Sunday, they believe all that they stripped from their coats and threw them down for him to cross. But that was Sunday. And now Friday had come. And on Friday, it seemed as if all had ended, all hope was lost. They stood ground in the dark rooms, hidden valleys, talking and listening to one another, and asked, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Another one asked, were you there when they nailed him to the cross? And another one asked through the tear-soaked voice, were you there when they nailed him in the tomb, laid him in the tomb? Yes, that was Friday. And on Friday, it seems as old is finished. And then a soft wind, or maybe a gentle breeze of a voice somehow from the sky somewhere came, but it was a voice. A voice as powerful as if, and as soothing as if it came from God himself. It was as if the voice of God whispered, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Amen. But before Friday, there was Thursday, was it there? And on Thursday, Jesus sat with his bunch of misfits one last time. These group of vagabonds. We sat there, you know it. He sat there, the one who was going to deny him. Not once, but three times. He sat there with the one who was going to betray him. He sat there with the one who's gonna doubt him. He sat there with the two brothers whose mama came and begged for a space at the prime seat when he goes to the kingdom. In other words, he sat there with people just like you and I, broken, in need of something greater than us, in need of Jesus Christ. And knowing this, knowing who we are, he looked at each of them and still loved them. And we know that on that night, in one of his final gracious acts of loving grace and loving acts in which he gave himself up for us, he went and he took the bread. He gave thanks. He said, gave thanks to the Father. He broke it. Then he gave it to his disciples and said, eat from this, all of you, in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, you come Thursday and we tell you how this happened. When the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks and said to his disciples, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, pour out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's what he did. His last will and testament with them before they left, and the word says they left. He got up there and he left singing the songs of ascensions from 13 to 18. They sang, and he goes to start what was supposed to be done. So will you pray with me? Oh Lord, Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, in one ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in the final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Those who are helping me, could you come, please? In our church, in the United Methodist, in the Wesleyan tradition, all is worthy of God's grace. So all are welcome to his table. So how we do it, we'll just come up just like one big body coming across and come up the center aisle and we will serve you. And you are welcome to go to the altar, spend some time with the Lord, or make your seats the altar, wherever the Lord leads you. Thank you, Jesus. We'll take those after.
Thank you.
how we can ask one another the same question. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Yes, it makes me want to tremble and tremble. Give thanks to God, for it is God is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. And we sing Hosanna. We go from this place crying out for salvation. Come, save us, Hosanna. We go from this place ready to follow Jesus to the garden, to the cross, and to the tomb. Come, save us, Hosanna. We go from this place ready to pay attention to the waving of palms turns to a sentence of crucifixion. Come, save us, Hosanna. We go from this place knowing that even in death, God loves endures forever. Come, save us, Hosanna. And that is our story. And I'll see you on Thursday and Friday and on Sunday. God bless you, because Sunday is coming, babies.